I know that my daughter really, she probably wanted to introduce Pastor Brad here today, but I feel it's sort of my responsibility only in the sense that I want you to know that I embrace him. He's my brother in Christ. He's a co-worker in Christ, and it is really a privilege to introduce to you Pastor Brad Alford, and to welcome him to speak in this church today. So come on.
Good morning. It's good to see your lovely faces. Isn't this a wonderful day? Isn't God good? You know, when Lori Tony came over to our church, and you know, she's a little bit crazy, you know. In a good way. She's just so full of Jesus. And she came over, and she would tell me, she would get dreams and visions about us meeting together. And she would tell me that year after year after year after year after year, she would show me, she would write out 5 pages of prophetic things and give it to me. And I said, Lori, I don't know how this is going to happen. You know, it has to be God. I'm open to it, but it has to be God. And now the day has come to pass. So, this is not man's doing. I want you to know that. This is not just something that we thought of. Oh, it's a good idea. Let's just come together. You know, I mean, it's a good idea. But how many know it's got to be a God idea, right? So I so much appreciate Tony and Lori in their hearts. And I so much appreciate Pastor Steve and Carol. Steve has always been a man of unity in the community. Always, ever since I've known him for 10 years, always have promoted that. Always have promoted unity. Always have promoted unity. And that's his heart, bringing pastors together, bringing leaders together, and just for the sake of Jesus being glorified, and that's it. And I want to honor him today and thank God for him today. And so if you want to honor him with me, would you stand and just applaud him for his heart towards God and the unity? Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Steve. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for our heart that is after your heart. Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much for inviting us to come and being with you. We appreciate it. We are one church. And this is, like I said, this is the Lord's doing. Oh, there it is down there. With this little higher. So I can see. I want to share a message with you that it's really timely now with the things that are happening in our nation. The tragedies that have struck Minnesota, Louisiana. We don't know all the details in Minnesota or Louisiana. We just, people have seen videotapes, and so we don't have all the facts in that regard. But we do know what happened in Texas, where 5 police officers were assassinated by a sniper, by really a racist. And it's shaken the nation. And we're seeing more division than we've ever seen before. And it's very heartbreaking, because I believe Americans are really loving America. They love and they give. And so something has happened to our nation that God wants us to be aware of. And I believe that what Isaiah says, though darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness is covering the people, above us the glory of God is arising. So in the worst of days, it is our finest hour. It's our finest hours. Light is greater than darkness. Come on. Grace is greater than sin. And so God has an answer to what we're facing in our nation, in America. So I want to talk to you about that today, because when I was in prayer the other day, the Lord showed me the reason why our nation is facing the things that we're facing. It's not the only reason, but I think it's a primary reason. And once I get into the message, I think you'll agree with me. So let's get right into the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Are you ready to hear and do?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Amen? Father, thank you for your Word. Your Word is a Word of power. Your Word has authority to transform and to change things. And as your Word goes forth, let strongholds be torn down. Let captives be set free. Let the truth prevail over every lie of the devil. Come on, agree with me. In Jesus' name, be exalted, be magnified in America, and we give you the glory and praise for it. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus is prophesying here, and he says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Isn't that what we're seeing? The love of many people are growing cold. And the reason why is that we're seeing lawlessness is abounding. I mean, we're seeing this on the political scene. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. Is that okay? I'm not going to mix words. We're seeing this in the political scene, in the judicial scene. Lawlessness is abounding. We're seeing that people are getting away with lies and cover-ups and deceptions. And it's blatant. It's blatant. I mean, when the FBI says you've done this, how can you deny it? Come on. I'm not here to ruffle your feathers. I'm here to speak the truth to you. Because in this room, there are not Democrats and Republicans or independents. In this room is the body of Christ. Come on. And that's how we have to think. That's how we have to walk. That's how we have to live. So Jesus says, lawlessness will abound, and because of it, the love of many will grow cold. And what is lawlessness? Basically, it's a violation of the laws. It's a violation. And we know that lawlessness doesn't just have to happen publicly, breaking the laws. But how many know you can violate internal laws inside of you? You know, God has put a law on the inside of you, the law of your members. Right? The law of the spirit of life, the Bible says, is greater than the law of sin and death. And so we can violate laws on the inside of us. And so God is allowing these things to take place because America is allowing it. But His purpose is that America will turn back to God. That's His purpose. And so if He has to do it in a way, or allow in a way, darkness to come so that we'll turn back to God, how many know that no matter what happens, it's better that we turn back to God? So the tragedies struck in our cities, Dallas and Minnesota and Louisiana, and the wounding of other police officers, and peaceful marches have been taking place in a lot of cities and more cities now in our country. And there's nothing wrong with peaceful marches, but in those peaceful marches, there's been chaos that has reigned. A few twisted people come out and they change things. And how many know that words matter? Words matter. The Bible says death and life is in the power of the gun. No, death and life is not in the power of the gun. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So if violence is reigning, we have to not look at guns, look at the tongue. Because death and life, that's where power is. That's what the Bible says. Come on, we Bible people today. How many believe 100% in the Word of God? I believe 100% in the Word of God. So the Bible says it's in the power of the tongue, life and death. Jesus said this. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have what? Life. Life. And have it what? More abundantly." So how do I get life? You see, I want to know, how can I get this life abundantly? Oh, I wish I could come up to the altar and someone can lay hands on me and impart life abundantly. Here you are. And you just get filled with life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not how you get life. How do you get life? You get life through His Word. Words. Words give life. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit and they are life. So if I want life more abundantly, I have to fill my life up with His words. I have to speak His words. When there is death, I can speak life into it. Now look at Jesus in the tomb of Lazarus. It was all over for Lazarus. All over. His sister said, he stinks. Roll away the stone. What? There's no doctors here, Lord. He's dead. Roll away the stone. And what does he do? He speaks life into the tomb. Lazarus, come forth. The dead man rises. So if Jesus can speak life into death, so can I. So can you. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I can speak life into death. So the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue carries life. The power of the tongue carries death. Speaking, singing, stirs up the heart to act. Act violently or act non-violently. Isn't that true? I mean, we look at our music scene today, and a lot of our music scene, from hip-hop and stuff like that, is filled with death. There are songs of death. They're being manifested through our radio, through our television, right? And it's bleeding, if you will, if I can use that expression, bleeding into the culture, impacting our young people, impacting youth. I mean, they're listening to these songs of death. They're watching these videos of death, and we're wondering why murders are taking place in our streets. It's because of words. Words. Death. Words. Life. Words. I want you to know that. So, Jesus said, I've come to give them life. They can have it more abundantly. If they come to me, I'll speak my words to them. Life, as you well know, doesn't consist of having more things. Life does not come, hear me now, life does not come from passing good legislation. Thank God for good legislation. Thank God for good laws. But life doesn't come there. I mean, we can march in the streets all day and we may get one or two legislations passed through the Senate or through the Congress. And that's a good thing, but life doesn't come there. Life does not come, can I say this? Life does not come by obeying laws. Thank God, we have to obey laws. But life doesn't come there. So I want to know, how can I get this abundant life? It comes from words. It comes from Jesus' words. It comes from a tongue that is submitted to God. I have to submit my tongue to God. Listen, when I go into the voting booth coming in November, I am not voting my ethnicity. Come on, I'm voting kingdom. I'm voting godly. Come on. It's not a black or white thing. It's not a Hispanic thing. The world wants you to believe that. That's the spirit of the world. Come on, it's the spirit of the world. We're not denying that there's issues and ethnic groups. Of course there. But as the people of God, we have to look at it differently. We have to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. And we vote based on that conviction, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Can somebody shout amen? Hallelujah. Now, I don't say amen because I'm black, by the way. A lot of people believe that amen is a black word, you know. Only reserved for black Baptist churches, you know. White churches don't say amen. I know they do. Well, how do you know that amen is not a black word? It's a Bible word. Hello? It's a holy word. Do you know that amen did not derive from man? It derived from God. The Bible says in Jesus is the yes and the amen. Jesus says amen to himself. He's preaching, he's teaching, and he said, oh, that's good, amen. That's just how he is. Aren't you glad Jesus isn't boring? It's exciting. Hallelujah. So amen is a holy word, like hallelujah. It's a holy word. And God gave these words to men. So we shouldn't kick them out of the church because, oh, well, you know, people don't understand them, brother. You know, we just can't do that anymore. It's a holy word. Well, bring people into holiness, then they'll understand it. Whew. Hallelujah. Amen. Where was I? So life comes not getting more things, but it comes through our mouths. Well, listen, so many are feeling the injustice that's in our land. So many are feeling the fear in these times. And in prayer the other day, the Lord showed me the reason why our nation is going through what we're going through. And that is, in America, he showed me that America has promoted another God. I'm praying. We're just praying for the churches. We're praying for our church. We're praying. And then the Lord just showed me, here's why America is going through what it's going through. Because America has promoted another God. In other words, they booted out the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've been promoting another God. And that God, we're seeing the results of that God. That God has caused division, murder, fear, greed, cover-ups, deception. It's because there's another God in America. Now we know we serve the one true God. We get that. But I'm just saying that we've not promoted the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the result has been, get this now, an Antichrist spirit has swept into the White House. Everything flows from the head down, ladies and gentlemen. Everything flows from the head down. An Antichrist spirit. I'm not saying it started in this particular administration. It's been in administrations for a long time. So we're not, you know, putting down different presidents. That's not the point. The point is that we as a people of God have to see in the spirit realm what's going on and call it what it is. It's supposed to be the truth that sets us free. So the Antichrist spirit is what the Lord said to me. And the result of the Antichrist spirit is the spirit of murder, the spirit of fear, the spirit of confusion, spirit of division. In 1 John 2:18, John writes, little children, it is the last hour. If it was the last hour back then, how many know that we're in the last of the last of the last of the last hour? He said, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Eschatology talks about the end of days, the end of times, and we are at the end of times. Whether we have 30, 40, 50 years, 100 years, but we're at the end of times. And John's prophesying that we need to pay attention of what this Antichrist or the Antichrist is bringing upon the scene. The Antichrist spirit, so I'm talking about. The Antichrist spirit. And this is very vital. Because the enemy is deceptive. And he wants us to focus on the manifestation of the problem, but not who's causing the problem. We can get caught up in all the murders. We get caught up in all the crime. And then we pass legislation. We don't stop those who are murdering, those who are committing the crime, so to speak. So God wants us to focus on the perpetrator. And the perpetrator in the spirit is the Antichrist spirit. So what's happening is a very shocking thing. And I want you to, I believe the Lord wants us to share this grieving with them, because what's happening in America is really beyond shocking. And that is that a nation is changing its God for another God. That's shocking. It's very shocking. As a matter of fact, God talks about this to Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2. He's speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 11. And he says, and God is saying this in a perplexing way. He's asking the question, but he's making a statement while he's asking the question. And he's saying, has a nation changed its God? In other words, has there ever been a nation that changes its God? Of course not. A nation doesn't change its gods. Gods which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Nations change this God. God says, how can this be? Israel, you're changing your God. How can you solve the... How many know that America is great? When someone says, make America great again, listen, America is great, yes, because of the wonderful military men and women that have served and given their lives for our country. Yes, that's true. America is great because one man laid his life down 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ. America is great because our forefathers put God in the Constitution of the United States of America. God honored that covenant. He honored that pact. America is great because God has made America great. When you kick God out, then we head down a slippery slope. Isn't that true? We head down a slippery slope. And now it's words. It's words of death that is governing America. Words on the streets, words on the highways and the byways, words, as I said, through the music. Now listen, Isaiah saw this when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple and he saw the Lord and he realized that he was a man of unclean lips. Remember that? He says, oh, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of glory. The angel took the coal from off the altar of heaven and touched his lips and says, now you're clean. Listen, beloved, we got to get clean so that we are able to speak what God wants us to speak. Amen. I'm amazed at times how Christians, they let F-bombs fly out of their mouth as if it's nothing. You know, when you got F-bombs flying out of your mouth, that's a sign of filth in your heart. You know that? Pollution in your heart. Amen. It's death coming out of you. How can a spring have polluted water and clean water at the same time? So I got to cleanse myself. I can't go to a movie anymore and sit there and listen. If there's one F word, then that's like, ugh. But if there's three or five, I can't. I got to leave. You know. By the way, you know, you can leave movies. Get your money back and tell them, you know what? This has offended my religion. They have to give you your money back. You know that? I can't sit. I can't sit and watch partial nudity on Saturday and F-bombs in a movie. Lead worship on Sunday. Amen. So we as a people have to rise up and not get on the street corner and wave our banners or signs. We have to get on our knees, cry out to the Lord, and ask God to change the heart of our nation. But first, change my heart. Come on, are you with me? I'm almost done. So when the people change their glory, how many know that God is our glory? God is our glory, not Allah, not Buddha. He's somebody else's glory. For God is our glory. Jesus Christ is our glory. When the people exchange their glory for another God, three things take place. Real quickly, the Bible talks about this in Jeremiah 2. Number one, there comes astonishment. Astonishment. In other words, how could this happen? How could this happen that now, if you're looking around the country, even around the world, people are opening up nude restaurants? You know that? Yeah. There's a waiting list of thousands for nude restaurants coming to a city near you. It's becoming more acceptable. There's and I'm not here to bash transgenderism or gay people and all that, but there's gay parades. Not only gay parades, there are gays in the pulpit. There's gay pastors. It's acceptable in the church. Come on, are you there? So quiet in this Presbyterian church. It's acceptable. Isn't that true? It's acceptable. God loves all people. But we're not here to throw stones or condemn people. Such were some of us. But we were washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're not here to throw stones and say, these dirty, dirty people. No, look at yourselves. Amen. But we have to acknowledge that these things are happening. I mean, there are men who've turned themselves into women, and they're getting the USA crown. So, I call you a man or a woman. Now you were a man. Now you're a woman. I won't even acknowledge it. You were a man. I'm going to call you a man. You can talk all you want like this. But you're still Bob to me. Well, that's offensive. No, that's not offensive. What's offensive is the sin. The sin. So it's not a mocking thing. We don't mock. We don't ridicule people or put people down. People's hearts are broken. They're broken because of sin. And so we have to have compassion on people. But we don't have to come under the authority of sin and conform to it in order to accept it. Listen, it was not Paul's mission to make Jesus likable. You know that? The Apostle Paul's mission was not to make Jesus likable. The mission of the Apostle Paul was to get people to repent so that they could like him. So we have to change. We have to get back to the Word of God. We can't conform to the spirit of this age. Astonishment. Number two, a horrible fear begins to come upon America. In other words, dread. Dread. People are dreading now. I mean, what am I going to do? I don't know if I can go into open restaurants anymore. What's going to happen to me and all that? So dread is coming upon America because we have exchanged God. Number three, desolation. Desolation. That means a decaying of morality and justice. And this is not what we're seeing. A total decaying now. If he can break the law, if she can break the law, then and you want me to obey the law? I mean, I will obey it because the Holy Ghost is in me. But we're seeing a total decaying of these very things because we have exchanged God. Evil begins to reign when the nation forsakes God and His goodness. 1 John verse 2. I think I read that already. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. So John says, many Antichrists have come. And my question is, why is John using the terminology Antichrist? Why doesn't he say Anti-Jesus? Antichrist. The many Antichrists. But how many know that Christ is not Jesus' last name? Christ is His office. Christ is the anointing. Christ, the Greek word is Christos, which means smeared with oil, the anointing oil. So it's Jesus the Christ, Jesus who has been anointed with oil in His office to execute justice. Come on. To execute healing in His office, to bring people together and reveal the Father's heart to them. Jesus the Christ. And so He says, the Antichrist is coming, who is opposite of that. Opposite of healing, opposite of joy, opposite of freedom, opposite of that. Many antichrists have already come. So when you see murder, you see fear, you see oppression, all these things are happening in the land, you know that primarily an antichrist spirit has come in. So the good news, I got good news. We have authority to stop it. That's the good news, right? The gates of hell, come on, will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. So it is the office. It is the office that the enemy is attacking. The anointing on that office that heals, that restores, that breaks strongholds, that casts out demons, that raises men to be sons and daughters of God. It is through that anointing that truth is released. Lies are destroyed. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. That anointing is on you, beloved. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope of America? Christ in you. What's the hope of America? A new president, brother. A new president. No. The hope of America is Christ in you. What's the hope of America? Yes. Not a new Congress. Christ in you. But God allows all these things to happen just to baffle you. So that you'd wake up and realize that the answer is not out there. The answer is in you. And we have to live the answer. We have to walk in it. We have to ourselves go. And we see people that need to be set free, we go and we set them free. Jesus says, you go. I've given you authority. You go and you do it. But so many people are waiting for the pastors to do it. Well, no, you do it. You do it, pastor. You do it. That's what. Remember, God comes down on Mount Sinai, right? Before he does, he tells Moses, prepare the people now. I can't wait to see them. So prepare them. I'll give you 3 days, all right? I don't want anybody sleeping around. I clean yourself and all that, because in 3 days, I'm going to come down. I'm going to meet with you. That's what he said, right? So Moses tells the people, and the third day, they all come and they gather and they meet with God. God comes down. There's trumpet blasts. There's smoke. The mountain begins to tremble, and God's coming down. And the people are going, oh, oh, God, we love you. Oh, oh. Did they do that? No. They're running. They're out of there. When God comes, oh, we want God to come down. Do you want God to come down? So Moses is going, what's going on? Nobody wants to go up to the mountain to see God. Well, I'm going to go up. See, God's purpose, my point is this, God's purpose was for all of us to go up. All of us. Not just the shepherd. Shepherd, you go up and you come down and tell us what God says, and if we like it, we'll go like this. If we don't like it, we'll go like this. And if we really don't like it, we'll leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, right? You know, Jesus wasn't liked by everybody. And as a matter of fact, he said, the world hates me. Because I tell the world its deeds. That's why it hates me. That's the real Jesus. That's the real Jesus. If only we can get the world to love Jesus. Oh, how can we do that? Tell them the truth. Amen. Bring them to repentance. And then they'll love Jesus. Amen. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We want to tell you that we love you. We love you. Let your name be the name of justice. Let your name be the name of healing. Let your name be the name of hope. Let your name be the name of restoration in this room. Let your name cancel all lies and all fear that people are facing in their own homes, in their own families, God. Let perfect love drive it out. Your name is love. Your name is holy. Come on, tell them. Your name is good, Lord. Your name brings cleansing and purification of our heart. Create in us a pure heart, O God. Purify us. Cast us not away from your presence. Let your presence begin to fill this room. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come on, just welcome. We welcome you, Holy Ghost. We welcome you, Holy Ghost. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. And have your way. Have your way. Thank you for this church. Thank you for their hearts. Thank you for the hunger that's here, God. Thank you for the truth that's prevailing over every lie. We honor you. We love you. We worship you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Last scripture, here's what the Lord says. But you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. See, that's the nation I belong to. You see, as a black man in Paso Robles, there's not a lot of me. But I walk around. But I don't walk around with a chip on my shoulder. Because I'm in Christ. Again, I don't deny there's been people who've been pulled over because of racial things and all that. But I choose not to identify with that because I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom. I'm a kingdom. You're a kingdom people. Isn't that right? And love is the law. Love is the law. So he says, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood in this time. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that what it says? For you were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. You're the people of God. What does that mean? That means you're a man of God, sir. You're a man of God. What does that mean? Ladies, you're a woman of God. Don't call me that. Don't call you that. Let me call you a man of the devil. Man of the world. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You belong to God. You've been translated out of darkness into his light. God has bestowed upon you. He's bestowed upon me a holy, can I say this? A holy title. A holy function. God. I'm in the house. No longer a slave. No longer a slave. Oh, I might sin. I might make mistakes. I'm way, way better than what I used to be. Way better. Now I don't have to sin. So I have power over it. You have power over it. Amen. People here this morning, God really wants to set you free, person. Truth has come to you for this reason. That you know your identity. That you know that your words matter. Your words matter. Who am I? I'm just a blue-collar worker. I'm just a person that works in the office. I mean, who am I? I'm nothing. Listen. God did not die for nothing. He died because you're special. He wants you to rise up, take on this identity that he's given you, a son, as a daughter, walk in. It's time to cease cursing, foul language. It's time to clean out your home. It's time to take care of business for God. That godliness will begin to reign in our community, in our city, through the church. through the church. We have to have conviction of hearts. Or we'll be just like everybody else. God never wanted us to be like everybody else. You know that? Remember, the children of Israel asked for a king. Give us a king. Why? Because we want to be like all the other nations. They had God as the king. And it grieved the heart of God. It grieved Samuel. God says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting you. Give them what they want. Give them what they want. Oh, it was disastrous. God is our king. God is our king. Amen. More than that, he's a very loving father. Very, very loving. Very forgiving. Slow to anger. You're here this morning. You're away from God. I want to give an altar call for those. Brad, I need to get my heart right with God. Playing games at the cross. I got to get on the cross. I have to be an authentic believer, not just a churchgoer. It's time. It's time for you. I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how young you are. God's calling you. I don't know if I want anybody to see, anybody to notice. Listen, Jesus hung on the cross naked for you. Could you not stand up for him? God, I need you. No one's going to throw stones at you. We all are sinners. Saved by this grace of God. Just some of you, you need to get right with God. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. Convict hearts. Let every person know, those that you're convicting, that you love them. It's time for them to repent. In Jesus' name. Now, if that's you, brother and sister, I'm going to ask you to do something. It's pretty bold, but I'm going to ask you to do it nevertheless. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and be saying, Pastor, I want prayer. I'm going to stand up for God in this hour. Now, if that's you, come on, begin to stand up. Come on, don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Nothing to be embarrassed. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I know it takes courage to do it. I know. Thank you for standing. Thank you. But it's time. God's calling you. God's calling you. His anointing's on your life. Maybe there's been some bad things that have happened to you, and you closed your heart up, but God's—he's opening your heart now. See, He's not rejecting you; He's accepting you. Anybody else want to join these that are standing? Anybody else? Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. Anybody else? Thank you for standing. Thank you, Father. Thank you for standing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, church. Let's pray for people. This is a holy moment right now. The Bible says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person that repents than over the righteous. This is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But Father, I thank you for these men and women. You see their hearts. And Lord, release forgiveness to them. Let the past be buried. In Jesus' name. Come on, pray with me. Everybody say this prayer with me. Father God, I renounce my sin. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Deliver me out of darkness. Bring me into the light. I tear down strongholds over my mind, over my body. And I rededicate my body to you. I re-present the members of my body to you as a living sacrifice, made holy and acceptable to you. Thank you for receiving me.
I love you,
Father.
I love you, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
fill me now.
Change my life.
I will never be the same again.
In Jesus' name.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.